Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we ask for your guidance in Jesus' name, and amen. Today is kind of an interesting day for what we are seeing and for what we are feeling when all that is going on in the world goes on and we see it and react to it. I always have to remember that God put us here and now, at this place, and in this time of history. Yeah, there's much to see, and yes, there is much to interact with. So, just like you, I see what goes on in people's lives, in the institutions and governments around us. And of course, I just wonder. I see all sorts of people in those institutions of government or organizations. Some people with a very kind heart and others with a ruthless heart. I'm just so glad that most people have a kind heart. But all of this makes me cautious about what is coming our way because some of those ruthless people are in positions of power and authority. So, yes, I'm cautious. I feel caution. Probably you do too. And everyone evaluates life in front of us. It's just what we do. And we see the risks and we try to minimize the risks. That's what we do, just like if there was an earthquake. And I've been through a few of them. Of course, we have some big ones that are getting ready to come along. Oh, the San Andreas, the Cascadia subduction zone, and the New Madrid earthquake faults. All these are either due or overdue. And of course, we want to be concerned with our friends and our family and that they don't experience trouble. But these are things that just can be waiting to happen. Well, as I said, due or overdue, so we want to be a little prepared for if there is, an accident, a natural disaster, whatever it is, we want to have some ways to deal with the trouble that could come along. And I remember when I was a young man talking with my father and my grandfather about past events, such as the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic, or the world wars, or the depressions. Yes, all those things I had conversations with my father and grandfather about and got some points of view. And of course, the more we know, the more we are concerned, I think. Well, I went through those earthquakes and they continue to make me a little concerned today with them being due and overdue and the destruction and injury and even loss of life that they could certainly cause. And that does not mean that we live in fear. No, we don't. But we do want to have some supplies on hand. And I think of Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12, and they tell us that the wise person sees trouble coming and avoids that trouble. So that's what we can do because we want to use our wisdom as we go through life. that talks about the prudent man foreseeing the evil, and he hides himself, and the simple pass on and are punished, or they get the consequences, you know. So let's have a look and see what we can do to be prepared for what just might be coming along. And we do know everything has choices and everything has consequences. And what they are suits us according to what we actually do. That's just how life goes. After all, we do not want either ourselves or the ones around us to go through a difficulty or have hurt. We certainly don't want children to go through pain or even to be hungry. There's just a lot of basic choices that we have as to how we view the circumstances of the world around us. It's all a matter of choices. But I do think of disasters and how they have come along and what that means. Typically, in a disaster, there is some help, but we have to really evaluate who gives that help. You see, our government does not have any supply of food, and our food banks are limited in what they can give. Our churches, our service organizations, they don't have hardly any food. Oh, sure, they have a little bit, but I think that's something that is our responsibility to do as we show our care and love for other people, to have a little storehouse of whatever is necessary. And to me, the storehouse has food, water, or a water filter, and warmth. And that warmth can just plain be clothes. So I think about all those things. I think about how the United States does not have any a food supply in reserves. We have a just-in-time supply basis, and the stores get their food just in time. All the grocery stores, they do have a couple of days of food in it, but for all the people that go shopping, it doesn't last long. The warehouses don't have much food in them. They have that just-in-time supply philosophy. So we try to do what makes sense to us, but let's be aware of the facts of how much food and supplies are available. Do you remember a few days ago, Biden was saying we ought to expect food shortages in America? You know what that means? Well, we don't exactly, but we do see the examples around us of the shelves that don't have what we would like to buy. We hear the news from Germany, for instance, that the German people were told to expect food shortages and to expect the cost of food to increase by 20 to 50% very quickly. And we do have a world system where all the systems affect the other systems. And so it's very likely that we can expect that to happen in America as well. Shortages and price increases. We know about Ukraine and the trouble that is there, and Ukraine traditionally has provided about 15% of the world's supply of wheat and grains, or beans and such as that. But just now, Ukraine is in a war, and the crops are not being harvested or planted as they normally would be. So there's also Russia that is involved in the difficulties of the world, and Russia normally supplies about 8% or so of the world's wheat and grain. So we just can kind of expect that about 25% of the normal supply of grain to the world is going to be reduced. It might be unavailable. So we have these things that are facts in front of us and get to figure out how to deal with them. China has stockpiled food, and currently it is holding between 60 and 70% of the total world supply of wheat, rice, and corn. You know, there could be a reason for it, and it might be the anticipated military action against Taiwan by China. It's questions, but we can be wise in what we see and try to make a reasonable anticipation for what's coming our way. As I said, China has been stocking up on food and grains. And speaking of history, in history, food has always been used to force an enemy into compliance, or to kill them, to starve them out. That has been a historical fact. So we have people today who are also of that mindset to harm their enemy. And that makes me think of 1995, Catherine Bertini. She made a speech in the United Nations, and it was to say that food is a powerful tool for changing behavior. Food is power. Yes, it is bribery, and we do not apologize for this. Well, that her speech had been talked about for some years after 1995, after she gave it, and some people were very concerned of it. And at that time, Catherine Bertini was the executive director of the United Nations World Food Program. So there was questions, of course. And yes, we have an image of the United Nations being friendly and helpful and distributing things like food to people. But we're not really sure they do. They do somewhat, but they're more likely to have a vaccination program than a food program. But they do both. Some of us will remember that the United Nations has been joined with the Gates Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation to support a digital health passport. And that certainly could be used to control people. And we can wonder why would they make that, what would you call that? That joining, they joined each other to have that agreement or support of it with each other. I know in the United States, there are still about 25% of the U.S. population who refuses to be vaccinated, and it might be concern over vaccine injuries or vaccine deaths. It's kind of hard to tell, but it is a fact that about 25% of the U.S. population refuses to be vaccinated. That 25 kind of rings a bell here. This was just days ago that it was noted that 25 fully vaccinated professional tennis players at a Florida tennis competition either withdrew or could not finish the event. Now, it was interesting. I'd heard that in the news, but I couldn't find the information on Google. I had to go to DuckDuckGo to verify that that was the case. Just interesting what news we hear and what news we do not hear. Well, there are different reasons for what goes on, and it's for sure that we don't know them. We only have ideas about what we hear, and so we try to put things together. We try to understand why some countries have legislation that is calling for the vaccinations, like Canada, and that if the people do not comply, they're a part of that law that was presented was that the citizens would be fined $2,500 or to $3,000 per year. Now, I didn't hear that it passed. I heard it was presented. So we have things going on, and we have to ask, why is there such an urgency to get people vaccinated, and what are they trying to accomplish by it? Well, to me, I see an issue of control, and control will certainly be in every area of our life, including the financial area. And I think back to what's going on with cryptocurrency and central bank cryptocurrency and the blockchain technology and the SDRs, which is the special drawing rights for countries or for international organizations. See, we have things going on, and so few of us really know about it. Who knows about the plan for the Federal Reserve to give the United Nations International Monetary Fund $650 billion? It's they're all in play. All these things are in play, and certainly we know it is all going towards a one world order, and we get to figure out how to live in the midst of this. The Federal Reserve, it does not have any government oversight, and it creates its own money, in effect it does. It's never been audited, even though there have been calls to audit the Fed. So we have things going on with our money, with our currency, with our inflation, and with what some people say will be hyperinflation, that hyperinflation has to come along. Yes, I'm one of those people who say it has to come along. The timing of it, that I don't know. But we would do well to consider that it is coming along, and what shall we do about it? Because hyperinflation destabilizes the entire economy completely. And we can see that from the examples that have been in the last 100 years. And to look at the examples is how we can figure out what we can do to protect ourselves from it. The thing is if we don't put the time in ourselves and consider these things to do ourselves, we tend to not actually do anything. We can listen to the experts and say, you should do this, you should do that. But if you don't put the time in, you just don't see the reasoning of why you should do it. So that's why I encourage everyone to look for themselves and to just consider, if there was a big event coming, sure, call it a collapse, what would we do about it? I think about also the, should I call it corruption or influences in the system. I mean, we have them going on with the big money people, with the governments of the world, with the monetary systems and central banks of the world, but we just don't see it. We see the stories like of Hunter Biden with his receiving millions of dollars from Ukraine or from Chinese interests. We can wonder how that happened. And we can look at the gas crises that is going on and how Biden canceled the Canadian Keystone Pipeline. And we can see the billions of dollars going to Russia for the sales of their oil every day, roughly $1 billion a day. I mean, this is big things going on. We all get distracted by it. And I think that's a part of what the plan is too, so that we get distracted and we don't look at the most important parts of life. And you know the most important parts of life is that we have a relation with Jesus Christ. That has to be the most important part in anticipation of our eternity, our eternal life. But still we have things like the Ukrainian situation, the Russian oil, and well, let's see, this was 5 or so days ago, TFI Global said that while there was an executive order by Biden to limit Russian oil coming into this country, the Russian oil is still coming into this country. That's what they reported. They are a valid news organization, but how seriously do we take the reporting? I don't know, but we can always look at the information that is around us and realize that there's so much misinformation that we have to look further at just about all of it. Because there is a plan. Really, there is. One of the movements that I have seen was among academics with the Rhodes Scholarships. Now, pretty much this Rhodes Scholarship started by Cecil John Rhodes. Cecil John Rhodes. When he developed Rhodesia in Africa. And so he became quite wealthy with the natural resources that he sold, and he created that Rhodes Scholarship. And there were things that he wanted in the way of a one-world system, and he moved to put that into being. Well, there's lots of people who believe that a one-world system is the best, because then they can monitor and control the situation. You can say that that's the basis of a lot of organizations, like the Club of Rome or the Council on Foreign Relations, or, of course, the League of Nations. That was a part of the beginning of the United Nations. And these things stem from wanting to have an order to the world. Their order. And that's what's we have to be aware of influences that want this or that. There's quite a few sympathetic organizations around the world, and they also want to be a part of the power structure in that one world order. Today we see important people getting involved in the groups like the World Economic Forum. And just days ago, there was a meeting in Dubai where, again, important men were meeting, and they were part of something called the World Government Summit. Oh, another one was called the Atlantic Councils for Global Energy Forum. See, these groups, they're a bunch of influential rich guys who want to see the world according to what they want. It's all about money, power, and influence. It's always been like this. And the special people are invited into these groups for special influence and special profits. I mean, that's been the way it's been for many decades. Maybe centuries, I think, yeah. So they want to regulate people, and they want to tell us how to live our life and what we need to do. And, of course, they get rich off of the requirements that they tell the regular people to do. That's something that we see as we look. But there's so many people who really don't look, and they don't know how to avoid that trouble. That trouble that is coming along, and we need to hide ourselves from it, or at least avoid it so that it goes past us. Well, this is a point of how the world is being controlled and what we are actually going to do about it. We look at it and examine it and try to make a plan. Well, that's what we all sort of do. How do we keep out of trouble? How do we get what we need to have? What do we need to have? To me, it's water, food, and warmth. And there are different ways to get it. And we don't know the whole story, but we want to be considerate of what our loved ones need, and us too. But as I said, there's people who want to manipulate the situations in the world, and that goes on in America, that goes on in Ukraine, and that has gone on in Afghanistan. I wonder how did it happen that we left $83 billion of military equipment in Afghanistan, and that we spent hundreds of billions of dollars in Afghanistan for their infrastructure? How did it even happen? You know, here we spend that money in Afghanistan, but in the United States, we need our infrastructure improved also. Our roads, our buildings, our bridges are in need of repair. And does that get done? Not really. But we do gain understanding as we try to look at the current affairs that are going on around us. I think of the things that can fail in our system. I know one of the things I've been concerned about for a long time is our electrical grid and how it could go down, be completely out of power. And I know there are several experts who say they don't know how the system could be started up again if it completely failed or went down. And there's plenty of information on that. But it's still not like we know the whole answers. I know there's a couple of people, that broadcaster Ted Koppel started studying the electrical grid, and he wrote that book, Lights Out. He was so concerned with if the grid would fail or not. Speaking about another person is a Dr. Peter Pry, who was, let's say, hired. He was assigned by Congress to look at our electrical system and the grid and if there was a danger. And he spent years looking at it, and he spent years warning people around the country that we are in danger of our electrical grid completely failing. That, if you want to look at some very concerning information, look him up and read his reports. They're congressional reports. And, of course, you get the parts that are public. But it still is several years of him and his reports, and his associates writing the reports about the dangers of our electrical grid collapsing. It could be from terrorism. It could be from a natural incident. It's happened before in a partial basis, but still it's been very serious to have millions of people without electricity for weeks. And that's something that we can be concerned about. We are having a concern about cyber attacks upon this country. And yes, and Biden has made some warnings about that also and some executive orders that is showing the concern. But it's also kind of a concern that Biden is considering massive cyber attacks against Russia. And now there are several cyber attacks that are saying cyber attack experts that are saying that if we are considering that, we might have a counterattack by Russia upon the United States, by an attack on our grid or anything else, electrical grid. So we have to be very careful and concerned about protecting our infrastructure, our banking system, and our electrical grid. So another thing that just a few days ago, the Wall Street Journal reported that Biden's military budget proposal included plans to shut down our combat readiness training center in Savannah, Georgia. So, I mean, here we are having a danger from cyber attacks, but there's also a desire to close down our combat readiness training center. Can this be intentional? I mean, it's almost like we're intending to get ourselves into trouble. Is Biden a part of it? Well, look at what he's done. You get to figure that one out. But the point is that if there is a movement to weaken the United States and cause its decay, well, then let's get ready for it. Because if that's coming our way, there's always things we can do. And it comes down to, what do we need to live? That's the most important question. And everybody else can figure out what the extra things are. We all have our ideas, and then we will all do something extra. But the plans about the military, our military is under attack to be, what would you call it, diminished. Yes, through the Combat Readiness Training Center, and yes, through the Marine Corps. Right now, there is a plan to change the Marine Corps into a new area of defense, being that it would be a computerized defense where the Marines would, anyway, a certain group of them, would be using drones and remote missiles to attack any enemy. And there are about 24 generals, retired generals, that have opposed this plan. This has just been going on in the last week, that there are efforts to change the structure of our country, to weaken it. It would be a weakening. And what should we do about it? I think what we do is we use the democratic process in our republic, which is to make our views known to the people who represent us. And let's do that politely. Politely contact them, whether it's by a phone call or an email or a letter. Everything makes a little difference, and we are the government, and we are supposed to contact our representatives. You know, if we get judged as a nation, it's not going to be just the representatives who get judged. It's going to be we, because we, the people, are the government. And that's something that is in our form of government. Jonathan Cahn describes the kind of judgments that comes upon nations that leave God. And we, in our United States society and political structure, have done so much to leave God and to remove God from our society and our government. And that makes me think God could very well leave us or have consequences for us leaving him. That's a part of what that Jonathan Cahn talks about in his book. That's what we can be aware of, what has happened to certain societies that have turned from God. We have consequences. That's just what will happen. We can see the consequences that have happened to other nations, and we just don't want that to happen here. But how much don't you want it to happen? Is it enough to turn towards God and allow him to be the primary, the first place of importance in our life? Really, the major place of importance. Can we put God there? Can we do that so that we can maintain our freedom and liberty and our prosperity? That just might be what it takes, because there's a lot of things going on that we don't understand, we don't keep track of, and we don't even respond to. And we are in a spiritual battle, and this has been quite an old battle between God and Satan. So we have to be aware of what the spiritual battle is and how it pertains to our world and our life, and we want to stay holy because sin blinds our heart and our mind to the things going on and the truth of Jesus Christ, which is really the most important part. Our world is having things going on. We make choices and we get consequences. We see that the effects of all of it, the wars going on, the destruction that we are doing with the sanctions, with the banking system. Yes, it's all over the world it's going on, sure in the United States, sure in Russia, sure in the other countries that are opposing Russia. I don't blame them, but it just is a part of what's going on and what it means that we can expect because of the actions that we are taking. And no, the heavy-handed tactics of Russia in Ukraine have been very bad. Now what do we do? Do we look at what's been going on around? Where are our values? Sure, the deaths have been terrible. The destruction has been terrible. And it's also been terrible in this country when we've had 100,000 deaths last year from overdoses of drugs like fentanyl. 100,000 Americans died last year because of overdoses. That's worth a war, isn't it? Shouldn't we be doing something about that, like closing our southern border where most of the fentanyl comes across? Well, we have lots of pain and suffering in the world, yes, from overdoses. And there's all over, like in Central Africa, the Central African Republic, there was in the last, 10 years or so, there have been 383,000 people that have lost their lives because of that conflict. I mean, there's that thing. Those things go on. We have in China, millions of people have lost their lives, like the Falun Gong, the Muslims, the Christians. They have all been imprisoned and so many killed, and their organs have been harvested. So, yes, we have a lot of things that are not right in this world, and we do have to pick and choose what we're going to stand upon and die for. What battle are we going to stand and fight for? We, the people, are the government, and so when our government makes a decision, we get the effect. We, the people, pay for it. One way or another. Sometimes it's with dollars, sometimes it's with our lives, and we have to be aware of this dynamic. So yes, let's politely contact our representatives and point out what we really think and what we really want, again, in a polite manner. We want to choose to live godly, and that's a part of what we want to do in the world. As we choose what our eternity is, and what could be more important than that? Eternity in hell or in heaven? Well, let's be prayerful in what we are doing and how we are interacting with other people to help them to know that, yes, the love of Jesus Christ, but the love includes the consequences. That's why we get rewarded, and some people don't, because we make the choices in our life. The Bible tells us to fear God, and a part of what that fear is that I see is that we are unrighteous compared to God. And that's what I think of when I think of the fear of God, is that we want to be holy and be able to live with God in eternity, God Jesus. Well, we all have a part to do in being holy, and a part of that is how we live in this world, and there's a whole lot of questions to that. Yeah, we were once sinners. We can be forgiven, but we want to work towards sanctification or righteousness, and that's what we do. We do. And John 3:3 tells us that we want to be, we have to be born again, and that otherwise we cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's a part of renewing our all of us, all the whole part of who we are. Because hell is a terrible place to be. And if you've listened to the videos of people who have had an experience of hell, they tell you about how hot it is, how it's full of sulfur smoke, and how the demons will attack and hurt a person in hell. We don't want that, no. So let's choose heaven, and let's tell other people how they can get to heaven through the love of Jesus Christ. And I hope that they are motivated to learn in the Bible about how they can secure their eternity. After all, that is really what we want for people. I think all people, I really do. It's a part of what we do as Christians, is we communicate the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we do. And we know the transitions to be a Christian and live that Christian life is not always a quick thing. Now, there's plenty of stories about it being immediate transition. I know it can take a few years, because it did for me. I had a few years of study and a few years of questioning. And then I realized there was no truth greater than Bible truth, and I became that Christian. So I'm certainly aware of the questions, or call it a problem, of what we go through to make the choice for Jesus. And as I said, there's people who have an immediate overnight transition. And yeah, good for them, and wow. But we do what we can for spiritual preparation as to how we relate to people and tell them, again, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I see such an important part to spiritual preparation, but I also see an importance of physical preparation, because in this battle, or in the natural earth that we live in, we do have things happen, and we have consequences besides. But we also have tornadoes and earthquakes, and things happen, and it's a good idea to be prepared for them. I think of that tsunami in Asia. Well, that was, wow, that's getting close to 20 years ago. No, not, well, anyway. There's a lot of things that can happen as disasters in the world, and of course I think of the Cascadia subduction zone, and how our FEMA, Emergency Management, has said that everything to the west of I-5 would be devastated if we had a Cascadia subduction zone tsunami, if that one goes off. Wow. And we know that every 220 years, as I recall, was the average of the time between the subduction zone movements and therefore a tsunami. Well, we have a lot of things going on, of course, and we want to be protected, we want to be safe, and there's a part of what we do to do that ourselves. We protect ourselves. I mean, that's a part of what we do. Don't we get groceries? Don't we get gas? Don't we get some supplies for the just in case? Of course we do. The only question is, how much are we going to do, and what are we expecting? That's something each one of us has to look into and decide, what is the reality of the present day threat. It's very individual. We can't decide it for people, but we hope that everyone can grasp what the preparedness steps would be for what you are considering to be a potential problem and how you can show care and compassion for your loved ones so that they do not have to suffer from the deprivations that could happen with a natural disaster event or even a judgment kind of event. There are people now in the United States who have come from other countries, countries which have suffered some kind of a collapse, and they are very active in warning us about what we could be going through if there is some kind of a collapse in the United States. And we see signs of collapse. Yeah, I just said natural disasters and earthquakes. There can be fires. And there's a great big concern about our economic system. Well, our money. Well, our financial system. Will that collapse? And there's people who believe it so strongly that we are just headed towards a financial collapse. Again, we just don't know what to prepare for, and we all do it a little differently. I do think it's important to have a community of people that we interact with so that we can help one another. That's really what it's about, loving our neighbor, loving God, loving our neighbor, and we do that by showing our compassion and concern as we talk with them and try to understand how we can be prepared to help each other in the event of a disaster. Well, there have been people who have wondered about what's going on as we see military equipment moving from one location to another. Yeah, it happens on trains. Yes, it happens on the interstates. Why, there was, just, 4 days ago, there was a convoy of military equipment going up I-5. I should say going south on I-5. But see, all these things are going on, and we have limited knowledge of what is going on. But there are indicators that something is. Is it normal? Is it an everyday event? Or is there something getting ready to happen? See, we only can look at the signs and try to figure it out because we don't have inside knowledge. And there's people who say, look out, the airplanes in Europe have turned off some of the airplanes that appear to be military have been flying without their transponder turned on. So is this something that they don't want to be known that they are going into a certain area of northeastern Europe? And there's things that are going on with the cameras being shut off. The webcams that show areas in Europe have had malfunctions, and they've been shut off. Again, are these indicators, or are these just a situation we don't know about? There's Russian higher-ups who have been talking about the United States sanctions on Russia as being a justification for some kind of an economic or physical counterattack on mainland United States. Are they looking at special forces? Probably not. Are they coming into the United States? But there probably is a look at a cyber attack on mainland United States. We can only guess at what that would involve. Would it involve our water supply, our fuel supply, our food supply, our electrical system? We just certainly don't know. But in a sense, we are weakening ourselves in the United States right now as we take the oil out of the ground from our strategic oil reserve. If that oil was ever needed because we were in a war or because of the domestic, what's that called, terrorism, that could really shut down a whole lot of areas in the United States. And therefore, we would need our strategic oil supply. We would also need our strategic food supply, and there is no more strategic food supply. There is no more grains that are in silos in the United States. Nope, no more. We have very much reduced our reserves. And what if we needed computer chips to have our anything work? Well, we don't have a manufacturer of computer chips of any volume in this country, and Taiwan makes most of our computer chips. So what if China militarily goes into Taiwan? How many years would we be without computer chips? Good question. Look, I'm not saying that we have to believe the reports that we hear, but I think it is very good to be aware of the kind of things that are being discussed and talking about on maybe alternative media, maybe on, YouTube or something. There are information sources that, yeah, they're not what we would call reliable, but when you have a bunch of people who have a very similar discussion of things going on, well, then we try to evaluate how real it really is, and we can guess at what might be coming into our world, into our life, and how we can protect ourselves and our loved ones. I mean, isn't that just what we do? Of course it is. That's what we do. And so we are to be aware of the kind of things that are going on. That means to me that we want to have the basics of what we need to live for some period of time. Now, you've heard that everybody should have 3 days or 3 weeks or even 3 months of food in their storehouse, and they should have supplies where they can live for these certain amount of time, whether it's 3 weeks, 3 months, or there's some people who say 3 years. I don't know what to tell you. All I know is I want you to look at it and see what the threats are and what your goal is to how prepared you want to be. There is a whole lot of people that are telling us to beware about what is going on in the world. And there are prophetic people. Yeah, I certainly do have a little problem with that one, because it seems like prophecy has been so abused for quite a few years now. But I still will listen to prophetic people, and they tell us to beware also. The world tells us, and I just don't even like to say they're prophecy people, but let's just say there are things going on that tell us that we could probably be prepared. And I know there's the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25 that tell us about being prepared. There's the Proverbs 22:3 and 27:12 that tell us about seeing trouble coming and getting out of its way. So yes, prepare. And of course, pray for the understanding that God would have you to have. I know in the past 25 years, yeah, it's really been that long, that there has been a discussion of what will be coming to America in the way of destruction. Yeah. And it's not quite that I know what to say. I know there's things going on with the United States and Israel, and will we allow Israel to be split? Will we have anything to say? I've heard those people say that if America allows that or is a party to it, then America will be split. by some gigantic earthquake. I don't know. I don't know. But I know that I have heard it, and it makes me wonder. And so I tell you about it because I see other real-world concerns about our physical life that just kind of tell us that it's a good idea to be prepared for some kind of whatever it is that's coming along, that there could be some really serious consequences, especially as we walk away from God. So this is for all of us to evaluate personally and make decisions as our society is becoming more ungodly and more violent. Trouble is here, and apparently more and more trouble is coming. And yet, here we are. Let us be thankful that we are alive here at this time of the world, that we can both witness it and speak about it as the end of the age continues to get closer and closer. It's a privilege to be here right now on earth. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for being a witness and also being a witness of Jesus Christ, which is ever so important. We have life circumstances coming along, and Heavenly Father, help us to be strong in them, in Jesus' name. Well, let us remember the Bible admonition to fear not. Definitely, fear not. We can be strong in our thinking and our abilities to overcome whatever is in front of us and be strong in the Lord. Yes, indeed. Yeah, all right. So, if anybody would like my free preparedness pamphlet, just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. I pray for you, and ask each one of us to pray for one another, because that's just plain loving and wise. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Pours out to every name.